Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Thank you for that song. Beautiful song and very well done. Thank you for that. Wow. All the flags, all the tables, all the decorations, and by faith, all the food. Thank you for inviting us. And I say us out of habit. My wife is getting ready, been cleaning house and getting ready for kids to come in. And they should be getting in a little after midnight tonight. But those that know our daughter, Kristen, and her husband, his brother Crosswhite, was saying, thank you for the invitation. We don't take it lightly when we get an invitation to come and minister. And I was telling Brother Crosswhite before the service, I looked back over my records, and since May of 2012, now I know there's some big gaps in between because we were in other places, but when we were close in this area, so from May of 2012 until just several weeks ago when we came, that was 37 times that we had the opportunity to preach or to minister here over that period of time. So thank you for allowing us to be a part, and thank you for trusting us. We love Brother and Sister Crosswhite, and we are blessed to know them and to have that connection, and Grandma Crosswhite too. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love her as well, and I feel like I'm privileged to be here. I love missions and missionary services and all the things that you've done so well. Everything looks so nice. And I thank the Lord that he gives a call. Are you glad you've responded to the call?
Amen.
Amen. There's a call that goes out and we get involved in the work of God. God saves us and then he uses us so that we can help reach out to somebody else. Praise the Lord. I am going to turn to the word of the Lord first, and then I'll just be sharing some different things with you tonight. If you want to stand one more time, I'm turning to the book of Acts chapter 14, and I will be reading verses 1 through 7. I ask you to read along with me if you're following in your Bible or on the screen behind me. But let us read the word of the Lord. Do you love the word of the Lord today? Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for what he is doing. Thank the Lord for this church and thank God for faithful people. Amen. That serve the Lord year in and year out. And as I said, Brother and Sister Crosswhite, after, what did you tell me, 29 years? 29 years of faithful ministry in this field. And God has used them and used you in this church. That is what an investment. That is quite an investment to give your life to an area, and we thank God for that. Acts chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together, that was Paul and Barnabas, excuse me, together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, the part and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. Preach in this city, some received it, some didn't. Some were saved, some were not. Some accepted, some rejected. Persecution came, they went to another area, and there they preached the gospel. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings tonight. Thank you for this church, what you're doing. We just pray for your will to be done in the rest of this service in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'm using as my title tonight, verse number 7, simply, and there they preach the gospel.
First question for you tonight is, why did they preach the gospel? Can somebody say why?
Why?
Why did they preach the gospel? Why do we preach the gospel? Why bother? What's the purpose? Why not just leave people alone? Some of them grow up in very divergent belief systems. Isn't it better just to leave them alone? Isn't it better just to let them go on believing what they've always believed, what their ancestors have believed? Isn't it better just to leave someone that grew up in Hinduism, to leave him in his Hinduism? Because if he changes and becomes a Christian, he's probably going to be put out of his family. Isn't it better just to let someone from some other world religion just leave them alone so that they can just carry on their life and everything be just normal for them? The next why, or next couple of questions, why reach out for souls in our community? Why do we even bother? Isn't it better just mind our own business and leave people alone? Say to them, you do you and I'll do me. Have you heard that one before? You go your way and I'll go away, my way. You just do, live your life, I'll live mine. Why bother? Why send missionaries to other countries? Why spend the money? Why spend the time? Why have outreach? Why go and do praise in the park? Why have special events and revivals and services and reaching out to people? If I'm shocking you tonight, we just wait because the answer's coming. Come on. Amen? But just think about it. There's a lot that goes into reaching out for souls. We know what God's done in our lives, and we're thankful that we've been baptized in Jesus' name. Our sins have been washed away. We've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. To know that there is one true God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. To know that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To know that repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost is the way to be born again. Amen. But why not just do what we want to do and let everybody else just go their way? Well, the answer is because. Now, don't you love that answer? I used to hate that when I have a brother that's about a year and a half older than me. And sometimes I say, Bubba, what are you doing? And I would follow him around. He'd say, wait and see. I hated that answer. But don't you just also hate the answer? Someone says, why? And they just say, because. Well, that's not a complete answer, is it? Because what? Why are you staying home today instead of going to school? Because. Why? You know, I think you probably dislike that answer as well. Unless you're the one giving it. But why preach the gospel? Why worry about our community? Why worry about souls in Nacogdoches? Why worry about souls in Houston? Why worry about souls in other countries? Why do we send missionaries? Why do we spend the money? Why do you sacrifice? Why? The answer is because. Because. So follow with me quickly now, and I'm going to take you through some reasons and not just leave you with a because. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because, Acts 17:30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now, somebody say now. Now commandeth who? All men where? Everywhere to repent. That's why. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Hebrews chapter number 10, 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's why we care. That's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we reach out. That's why. And then another says 1 Peter chapter 4, 17, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The question is asked there in 1 Peter 4 and 17. And then the scripture tells us the Lord Jesus shall be revealed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Anybody with me tonight? Somebody say, that's why.
That's why.
Hallelujah. That's why. And verse 9 says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's why. Why pray? Why give? Why sin? Why go? Why reach out to a neighbor? Why talk to somebody? Why teach a Bible study? Why pray? Why pray for souls? Well, let me just keep going and tell you. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. The Lord Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Why? Because Revelation 20 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He said, I saw the small and great, everybody. He said, I saw them stand. That's why. Because there's going to be a judgment. Revelation 20 verse 15. Why do we do what we do? Because whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, this is serious business. Amen. We have a very good reason. Lots of very good reasons to do what we do. Hallelujah. To care, to pray, to sin, to go, to get involved. Amen. Every one of us, we have good reasons. Why? Because. Why? Because Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. 1 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Can somebody say, that's why?
That's why.
That's why? Why? Because John 3:16, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter what country they come from. It doesn't matter if it's across the street or across the ocean. It doesn't matter what color their skin. It doesn't matter their accent. It doesn't matter what language they see. It doesn't matter if they eat weird food. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what their name sounds like. But it's for whosoever. That's why. Because Jesus doesn't want people to be lost. Jesus doesn't want people to go to a lake of burning fire. Amen. Let's read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why. Amen. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why does he do that? With those which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to him. Hey, there is a gospel that will save people if they hear it and they believe it and obey it. Hallelujah. People that are blind, their eyes can be opened. Not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. Why do we go? Why do we pray? Why do we reach? Why? Because Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank the Lord. We call on his name in repentance. We call on his name in baptism. We call on his name. He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's why. Because God is the Savior. Why do we go? Why do we go across the street? Why do we send people across the world? Romans chapter 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? He's able to save. He wants to save. But people have to hear. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go, or how shall they preach, except they be sent? Are you with me tonight? Amen. Praise God. We have a message that will work. We have a message that will work around the world. We have a message. There is a Savior. Amen. And people have to hear so they can believe, so they can obey, so they can receive. That's why. Why? Because Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why? Because of Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. There is a message that will save people. That's why people are lost without God. I was lost without God. You were lost without God. But we came into contact with a message, hallelujah, that saved our souls, that changed our lives. And the message that worked for me and the message that worked for you, it will work for them. Hallelujah. Why? Because Matthew 28 and 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I have one question for you. What is that name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Why? Because John 20:21, as Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Hallelujah. That's why. Because Jesus sends his disciples. And we're all disciples. He sends us into a world with a message that can change people's life. Why? And I just got a lot of whys, and I've got a lot of becauses. Amen. Why? Because the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. Hallelujah. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Thank God there's living water available. But people have to hear. They have to know. And when they hear and they know, then they can believe and they can receive. I'm almost done with the why and the because, but a couple of more. Why? Because John wrote in the book of Revelation, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. That's why, because there's coming a place, amen, there's coming a time, there's coming eternity, rather, where we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And it's not going to be just a few people. It's not going to be just a few here and there, but there's going to be a great multitude. Hallelujah. What are they doing? They're standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That's why. Somebody say, that's why. That's why. That's why. Hallelujah. Because we're lost without hope, without God. But when Jesus comes in, this gospel makes a difference. Look at somebody, say, that's why.
That's why.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody else, that's why.
That's why.
That's why. Amen. Paul and Barnabas went, they preached, some received it, some didn't. Persecution came, they went somewhere else. What did they do there? Same thing, they preached the gospel. There, they preached the gospel. My wife and I, and our family, we've had opportunity, privilege to be missionaries all together about 20 years and in various places. And I just want to tell you a little bit about it, because you see, we think that, you know, sometimes it's just like, thousands, and it does happen that way at times and in some fields. But we were involved mainly in what we called pioneering missionary. We never saw thousands, but somebody goes to plant the seed. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Every soul counts. Every soul is valuable. We went to one little island for a few months to get some experience, and then we went to the island called Curacao. there in Curacao, they speak Papiamento. We got there. We were in our 20s. We had two small children. We had never started a church. We had been an assistant pastor for about 4.5 years. But we felt a burden. And we ended up going to Curacao. What do we do? Thankfully, a lot of people spoke English. Amen. We started learning the local dialect. And then we said, well, we want to start something in our house. We bought a few wooden folding chairs. We put a little ad in the paper. We put an English ad in a Papiamento paper, another language, and said something about Bible study. Oh, you mean you didn't start out with hundreds coming in at once? No. But it was just going and preaching the gospel.
That's right.
Now, thank God, there are some of our fields that have grown over the years, and some of them are seeing hundreds and thousands receive the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I'm not taking away from that. But you go and you preach the gospel. Paul and Barnabas went. Some received it, some rejected it. They even faced persecution. But when they left that place, they went somewhere else and they preached the gospel. Aren't you thankful that somebody came to East Texas? It may have been many years ago. We may not even know the names of the original ones that came in this area. But they came to Texas and they preached the gospel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we started. We put an ad. And one guy showed up. We got like 2 phone calls, I think, out of that advertisement. One of them never turned out to anything. The other one, a young man responded. We started teaching him. He actually got baptized in Jesus' name. I think he had maybe received the Holy Ghost prior to the time that we knew him. And he didn't stay around very long, unfortunately, but he led us to some other people. And then some of them didn't stay around. You know, you'd see that happen. Amen. It's not all just great revivals and miracles every day, but it's just preaching the gospel, planting the seed, telling people the truth so they can hear the word of God, so they have an opportunity to be saved. God helped us. We started out in our home. We got some wooden chairs, had a little flat top guitar. Amen. And I took some wood and built a little podium, and we started having church right there. I was the pastor. I was the musician. I was a song leader. My wife was a Sunday school teacher and the prayer warrior. And help, you know, that's where we started. Later, we found a little building. It was just sitting there abandoned, and we didn't know who it belonged to, but it was right where several people. We started teaching other Bible studies. We started seeing people get baptized in the name of Jesus. Just a few people coming, and they would come up, but it was kind of out of the way where we lived. And so right in the area where several people we had talked to and been teaching Bible studies to and maybe even baptized a few, there was this little building. It was an ugly little wooden building, but it was the location. Right where several of these people live. I didn't know who it belonged to. The windows boarded up. It had been vandalized. Nobody was using it. And so I would drive by and I would say, Lord, I'm asking you to give us this building, or at least let us be able to rent it or something. And so sometimes I would drive. It was situated where you could drive all the way around it, roads going on different sides. So I would drive around and I'd say, Lord, thank you for giving us this building. One day I was there with somebody else, a visitor, and I was showing them. I said, we're trying to find the owner of this building so we can still have a church here. And about that time, a young man walked by, and I stopped him. I said, do you know who owns this building? And he did. He said, yes, I know who owns it. And he put us in contact, and we found it was two or three sisters that owned the building. And we made an agreement. We said, if we fix it up, and we'll do the work, won't cost you anything if you'll let us deduct the materials from the rent. Okay, and so we bought materials. Mom and Dad came down and helped us, and we had another aimer there that helped us, and so we painted. It was still an ugly building when we were through. But it looked a whole lot better. We put windows where there used to be windows. We bought windows. We bought paneling. We bought tile. We painted the outside, and we fixed it up, and we made a little church out of it. Hallelujah. It didn't look like a whole lot. The whole thing would almost fit on this platform. Amen. Maybe just a little bit longer. But what was it? A place to preach the gospel.
Right.
Hallelujah. So we started having church there, and I think we had about 9 months of rent invested in materials. So we didn't have to pay rent for 9 months because we'd invested money in the material. They got free labor, so it was a win-win. We stayed there for some time, and we got there. We were having people seeing that they needed to be baptized in Jesus' name. And we started baptizing people in Jesus' name. But we didn't have people getting the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it seems as if there is a spiritual barrier that has to be pushed through. We were preaching the gospel. People were getting baptized. And then it was just people were not getting the Holy Ghost. We had an evangelist come. He came down and preached for us. We had our first, I think, four or so get the Holy Ghost. And again, we didn't see hundreds, but one here and one there. We had our first four. After that, people started getting the Holy Ghost. People started coming in. And we had people that are still living for God today. Amen. There's some that have gone on to be with the Lord. Did they all serve God for the long term? No, some of them started and didn't stay with it. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Amen? Amen? I'm telling you, you think, well, the mission field, man, it's just, it's people. Wherever you go, people are people. Yeah. And some stay with it, some don't. But oh, thank God. Amen, what do? There we preach the gospel. Pastor Crossway, they're here, you're preaching the gospel for 29 years. Hallelujah. And God has touched, and God, there's going to be people saved because of you and your wife and this church, people that are going to be in that heavenly throng. I believe that tonight. You? So we started seeing people get the Holy Ghost, and we just... God did some things there. Eventually, after we left there, they got another pastor. He was originally from another island, but he came there, had gotten the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and somewhere else, and he's been there for over 20 years now. They've built their own building. The church has grown. It's continuing on today. Hallelujah. But you know what? We went, but we didn't go on our own. There were churches behind us that sent us, that paid for our way, that paid for us to have a house to rent, that paid for us to have a car to drive, amen, and gas to put in that car. So we went, but we had churches behind us that helped send us to go. And over the years, thank God, Apostolic Lighthouse has helped send us. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's teamwork. Amen. Everybody can't go to another country, but some, as you've heard the often repeated phrase, some go by giving, others give by going. But it takes partnership. I heard a young man one time, he said he went down to Mexico to do some missionary work, and he just went on his own, quit his job and was supporting himself. But he later the money ran out, and he told me, he said, I found out, or I read something you wrote, or else he told me personally, but he said, I found out you can go without being sent. You just can't stay very long. Amen. So thank you. Why do we do this? Because of people. Because of souls. Later, we went to the country of Suriname. Suriname is a small country north of Brazil in South America. And again, it was more of a pioneer. We did have a church in the country, in the far western part of the country. Brother, Sister Watson got to go to Nunicari and preach in that congregation. They met Pastor Edwards. Pastor Edwards was from Guyana. And before we got there, he had left Guyana, moved to Suriname. He had been a United Pentecostal pastor in Guyana. And then he started a church in Suriname. That was our first church. But we didn't have any works in the capital city or in the rest of the country. And so we moved there. And what did we do? We started reaching out, talking to people. Teaching Bible studies. We were in the park one day, and we were getting ready. We didn't know where to have church, so we made arrangements to rent a hotel conference room. I'm just telling you a little bit about what it's like. Now, and other people have different experiences, but this was our experience. You teach the Word of God. You preach the gospel. We started teaching Bible studies. We started making arrangements. We're going to start our services. We're going to rent a hotel conference room because it was in the center of the city, and that made it easy for people without cars to get transportation to come to there. And so we made arrangements, and then we were in the park one day. in the park with our kids, and there were some people. We saw them, we started talking, and we told them about it, and they said, "We're going to come." They started coming. Eventually, that different family members in that family got baptized, received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't like we saw hundreds and thousands. It was just one here, one there, and then later we'd have more getting the Holy Ghost. But it was just a process of going and preaching the gospel. There, Paul and Silas, they preach the gospel. And that's what we do because of what Jesus has done for us. Let me just share a couple of things that I wrote at one time in our missionary work. I had a little blog post I would put out. Let me tell you, let me just give you a little day in the life, not a complete day, but let me give you a little event in the life. I wrote this one time and I said, okay, this could take a while. I thought to myself as we entered the room, we were at the Ministry of Justice and Police in Paramaribo, that's the capital city of Suriname, to get our passports stamped. The office was crowded with people waiting for the same thing, and it did take a while. What a waste of time, waiting in an office to get our passports stamped again when we could have been doing missionary work. Wait just a minute. Did I say waste of time? Missionary work? I think it's time for a question and answer session to help me stay focused. Question: why are we in Suriname? Answer: to do missionary work. You know, like preaching, teaching Bible studies, baptizing people, starting new churches. Question: why do we need to get our passports stamped every few months? Answer: to allow us to legally remain in Suriname so we can do the above mentioned missionary work. So here is my conclusion about waiting in an office to get our passports stamped. This too is missionary work.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
Amen. Oh, why are we raising money again to give to help some missionary? That's missionary work.
Amen.
You may be on this end of it. Hallelujah. As far as foreign missionary work. But what about, Pastor, why are we going to the park to have praise in the park? This too is missionary work.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. You see, it can be some seemingly insignificant thing, but if it's helping you to reach a greater goal, I say it's the work of God. I say that's what we do. Amen. I say there they preach the gospel. That's why they preach. That's why we preach. That's why we work. That's why we come on a Saturday and help clean the church so we have a nice presentable place so people can come. That's why we do what we do.
Right. Amen.
That's why. This too is missionary work. I'll share one more quickly with you, and I am watching the time. If you're concerned, I've been up here about 29 or 30 minutes. Everybody still okay?
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right. Here's another one. I wrote this. Again, it's just a little view of what it's like. Again, most of our missionary work has been more in the pioneering stages. And so this was after we had been gone from Suriname for a while, and then we went back later. And here's what I wrote. His name is Great Kiskadi, or Patanga Sulphuratus, if you want to get technical. But I don't want to get technical, because to me, the Great Kiskadi will always be known as the victory bird. It's a little bird about this tall. Let me tell you why. The first few weeks of getting settled in a new country can be rather unsettling. There are many things to be done, such as buying a vehicle, applying for residence permits, which includes multiple pieces of paperwork at various government offices, finding a house to rent, learning to get around in a new city, learning where to acquire various needed items from copy paper to toilet paper. And the list goes on. Seemingly without end. Oh, and did I mention this all takes place in an unfamiliar setting with unfamiliar people who sometimes speak unfamiliar languages? As you can see, the possibility of feeling overwhelmed can be rather high. Our family arrived in Suriname in 2003 to begin our first term as missionaries there. One day we were going through the stresses of the settling in process, and I heard a bird call outside our apartment. It sounded, anybody know what a whippoorwill is? Okay, if you don't know, ask your grandparents. They probably know, or Google it. It sounded kind of like a whippoorwill, but where a whippoorwill is kind of slow and it's kind of usually happens kind of late in the evening, right before dark. It's kind of got a mournful, lonesome sound to it. So it sounded a little bit like a whippoorwill, but instead of being slow and mournful, it was pert and sassy. And it sounded to me like the bird was saying, "Victory, victory." So I said, "That's the victory bird." I gave it a new name. Amen. Kiskadee. That's why they called it Kiskadee, because it had that Kiskadee. But I said, "It's victory, victory." Amen. I heard that bird, and that's what I heard, it seemed like. So I quickly named him the victory bird, and his call reminded me that God was in control. Amen. Hallelujah. And that he would give us victory in every situation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that's when we first arrived there in 2003. But fast forward 13 years. One morning after I returned to Suriname in 2016, I heard a familiar sound. You guessed it. It was the victory bird. It seems he was still there, still encouraging me to trust in the Lord in everything. Yes, I've heard the victory bird, so I know everything's going to be all right. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to give you a little insight. It's not all just great revival. It's not always just hundreds or thousands. It's not always people getting the Holy Ghost at every service. Sometimes you go for a while and it don't have. What do? You preach the gospel. What do here? You preach the gospel. Amen. What do? You preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And God begins to give the increase. Thankfully, amen, the church continues on. Thankfully that God is still working in that country. Thankfully, we've got a young couple that has gone there as missionaries. I think it was just in January of this year. And so they're there working along with the local people that were already there working. So thank God, amen, there's a church there. And I'm not saying we are taking credit. I'm saying it was a lot of people working together. A lot of people working together. And if I can find my notes, I'll conclude in just a little while. There it is. Had too many pages up here. Why? Somebody say, that's why.
That's why.
Why? That's why. There, they preach the gospel. They preach the gospel. Now, I talked about getting settled into a new country. And Brother Henry Ritchie, long-term missionary in the Windward Islands, he sent this to me, I think by email. We had gone to Suriname, and he sent this. I wrote it down, kept it so I would remember it. He said, "The sacrifices and pains of getting settled in are birth pains for a new church in a new field." Amen. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes people on the home front working. It takes people raising money. It takes people doing it. It takes you doing what you're supposed to do. But let me tell you something. This gospel we have works.
Amen.
And it's worth whatever it takes, isn't it?
Amen.
Brother David Bernard, our general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church, said the ultimate solution to human needs is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer. Do you believe it tonight? Hallelujah. That's the answer. And brother, how many of you heard of Brother T.W. Barnes over the years? Brother Barnes, he said, somebody asked the question, what is the secret? They asked him, could the church do that would start a revival? His answer was, become overflowing Christians. hallelujah, become overflowing Christians. Now, I recognize that not everybody can go to another country, but hey, that's only a part of our mission field. You have a mission field right here. God is using you right here. Yes, it takes work. Yes, it takes dedication. Yes, it takes commitment. Yes, it takes money. Yes, it takes putting forth the effort. Hallelujah. But we have good reasons of why we do what we do, and we have a good gospel that will change people's lives.
Amen.
Praise God. Brother Barnes said, become overflowing Christians. Praise the Lord. I read a book by a gentleman named Nabil Qureshi. He was a Muslim, born, raised a Muslim. He wrote a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Amen. He came to a point where he turned to the gospel of Jesus Christ and left his previous religion behind. It was not easy. It took time. It caused rupture in family relationships, but he found something, amen, that he believed and understood was true. But he wrote this: effective evangelism requires relationships.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I read another person that wrote, discipleship moves at the speed of relationships. What are you trying to say, Brother Rhodes? I'm trying to say we're all missionaries. We all have a job. Some go and you help them financially through your giving. But you're right here is your mission field. And I believe one of the most effective ways of reaching people, thank God for mass crusades, and they are effective at certain times and certain places, but somehow you got to get people to those crusades. And most of the time, it's going to come through relationships of some sort.
Amen.
And so we have to be open to be used by God right here, right now, at Walmart, at the grocery store, at the gas station, in the classroom, on the job. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
We're all missionaries.
Amen.
Why bother? Because people are lost without the gospel. But there is a gospel that will work. Hallelujah. It will work. You see, we have to learn. Now, I don't think we got to just do evangelism outreach just out of a sense of guilt. Okay? It'd be like telling somebody they're drowned. You say, well, the only reason I'm here to keep you from drowning is because I would feel guilty if I didn't. No. Hey, there's somebody. Jump in and help them.
Amen.
Right? And so I'll be honest. I'm the kind of person I would knock on a door and hope they don't answer. I saw Brother Gray, Brother Richard Gray, and I told him his dad used to pastor in Crosby, Texas. I was a student at Texas Bible College. We went on a weekend crusade. I saw Brother Gray not long ago. I said, I've been scarred for life of what happened in Crosby. Not Crosby, other little town over there, Dayton. We were going out knocking on doors on a Saturday morning. And so Pastor Gray sent me with, I think it was one of his young sons, a little younger than me. And Brother Gray said, he'll show you how to do it. Now, some people are very good at knocking on doors. So I'm not knocking on doors. Everybody got that? I'm not knocking that. If that works for you, great, do it. My personality and my, you know, I feel like I'm intruding on their space. And so we were taking turns. I would knock on the door and say, hey, we're Glory Way Tabernacle, I think it was called. We were having services tonight. I want to invite you to come. And we were taking turns. It was his turn. Thankfully, it was his turn. He knocked on the door. This is Saturday morning. He knocked on the door. This finally somebody opened the door, kind of bleary-eyed, long hair, looking. And the young boy started talking. The guy didn't say a word. Have you heard of getting the door slammed in your face? Wham! Whew. That was intimidating. Now again, some people are very good at that. and have started churches like that. But you know what I work through better? Relationships. We were in the park. We saw some people. They had kids. We had kids. We started talking. Hey, we're starting a church. They started coming. And then they led us to somebody else. And that lady got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. Some of her children, some of, you know, relationships are so important. And we can all do that. Amen. So I encourage you tonight to get involved. If you're already involved, keep it involved. You're sending missionaries. But your mission field right here, relationships are so important. And God will use you. Amen. God will use you. I just heard a testimony. Someone just this past week and was telling how a guy came driving through and they started a conversation and it led, one thing led to another. And the guy ended up helping him get a job, ended up helping him find a place to live. He was going through a tough time. And eventually he started coming to church, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. They developed a friendship. And then they found him dead in his little trailer. He had died all alone. But you know what? Before he died, he got the Holy Ghost and was baptized. A relationship. How many of you can look in your life and see somebody that affected you, whether it was a family member, whether it was a friend, whether it was a coworker? And come on, wave your hand. Somebody, you didn't just stumble into this by yourself. Somebody affected you. Would you wave your hand at me? Praise God, I'm almost through. But I want to tell you, there is a reason we do what we do. There they preach the gospel. You might say, I'm not a preacher. Says who? You may not be a pulpit preacher. You may not be a pastor or an evangelist or a preacher in that sense of the word, but your life preaches. God will use you. You have a testimony. You have something to say. You have something to share. Hallelujah. Brother Darren Sargent, I was at a seminar that he was teaching, and he made some statements that I wrote them down. He said, there can be no impact without contact. Let God use you in your day-to-day work. Let God use you. I love looking for opportunities to connect with people. I'm not real crazy about dogs, but I'll be walking in the morning sometime and I'll say, what kind of dog is that? And people want to talk about their dog, and that just gives an open door. I'll see a cute baby. I was in the store the other day, saw a cute little baby. I said, that's a cute baby. And the guy said, thank you. And now that's all it led to at that time. But if I see him again, amen, I'm going to try to renew that. I look for opportunities. Do you look for opportunities? Hey, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with smiling and being nice. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like one guy said, somebody go up, knock on the door, and they said, I just want you to have what I have. They thought, with that look on your face, I don't know if I want what you've got. Amen. So if you're a door knocker, knock doors for Jesus. But if you're a relationship person, amen. Brother Crosswhite remembers the people in Aransas Pass. Amen. It started out with one Bible study. How? A contact. Somebody called and told us, we have somebody kin to us in your city. Could you teach them a Bible study? Amen. They put us in contact. A relationship was started. We went to teach Bible study. I think my wife may have taught the first lesson. We started going. And then relationship, because that lady invited some other family members. We got there and there were three young couples. Amen. We started teaching Bible studies. And the one thing led to another. They started getting the Holy Ghost, getting baptized. This was in Aransas Pass, Texas, where your pastor has preached before. In fact, you were there when Sister Modi got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And now they have not only these families, but their children and their grandchildren. There have been many people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in that one the extended family relationships. So one led to another, one led to another. Amen. Do you remember her coming down the aisle? I was thinking, oh no, she didn't come to the altar to pray today. She was sitting right back over on the side, but I saw her coming down the side aisle and I could read her lips as she said to somebody sitting there, she said, I got it. She got the Holy Ghost right back there in the pew. Praise God. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. I hope I'm making some sense. I hope this. Why? Because without the gospel, people are lost. But because if they can hear it, and if someone will share it, if someone will tell it, they will believe and obey it, they can be saved. Amen. So God uses you. Here's my take on sending missionaries. You give money to help send a missionary. Where do you get money? Work. All right. Now, how do you work? You got to show up, right? Now, I know there's online work, but you got to do something and show up, do something. What is life made of? Time. We all have we don't know how much time. You go to work, you give your time. You are literally giving a part of your life for money to buy the things to sustain your life. Right? So when you give a missionary offering, you're giving a part of your life. Is my logic holding up here? You say, well, I can't afford a whole lot. A little here, a little there, some here, a whole lot of people putting together. So you're giving a part of your life. And not only that, that's the foreign side, but what about right here? You take the time to talk to somebody and smile. I go, you look people in the eye. And sincerely, how are you today? And people, sometimes their face will just almost light up that someone actually took the time to talk to them. Somebody say relationships. Back to Brother Darren Sargent, as I bring this to a close, there can be no impact without contact. We can't all go to Kenya, but we can all walk across the street. We all go to the store. I guess we all go to Walmart sometime or another, you know, to the doctor, to on and on. Brother Sargent said, people are one to us before they are one to the gospel. And he used what he called the 3D of lifestyle evangelism. 3D. Here it is. D, number one, dare to step out. Talk to people. Talk to people. Step out. Get out of your comfort zone. Does this make any sense?
Yes,
talk to people. Be nice to people. Smile. The second D is develop friendships. Amen. Got a lady, I'm on her trail in Jesus' name. Don't misinterpret that. I see her walking in the mornings. I walk a lot of times in the mornings. I saw her and I wave at her. She lives in our same apartments. And we started a little Bible study, prayer in our apartments. Another couple in the church live there. And we just found out today some more people that come to church live there. And a girl got the Holy Ghost this morning and her contacts live there. And so this lady lives there and I've invited her. She hadn't showed up yet, but I invited her. She walks sometimes 10 miles. And I thought I was doing good with my 2 miles. And she kind of has a little bit of a limp and she walks fast. But I'm after her for Jesus. I'll see her. How are you? Good morning. You know, as we pass on the trail. And I give her an invitation. What are you doing? I'm trying to, there's a friendship developing. Not inappropriate. Amen.
Yes,
nothing inappropriate. It's all out in public. It's all clear. My wife knows. Hallelujah. We were driving in the car, and I saw her walking. My wife's in the car, and I blow the horn. I said, that's the lady I've been talking to, inviting. So dare to step out, develop friendships, and then the third D, discern the next step. In other words, pray, God, how can I reach out to them? Look for opportunities. And so wherever you go, preach the gospel.
Amen.
There, they preached it. Could you lift your hands right now? Hallelujah. You help send missionaries. Thank you for that. You help people go to other countries. Thank you for that. You probably help other home missionaries, North American missionaries. Thank you for that. But also God uses you right here. And God will use you in a greater way if you dare to just step out and say, God, here I am. Use me. Lord, your will be done. Hallelujah. God, open up a door. God, help me to find somebody today to talk to. Help me to find somebody today that I can reach out to. Help me to find somebody. I may not be able to teach them a Bible study right now. I may not be able to even invite them to church yet. I may not be able to tell them about Acts 2:38, but I can make a contact. I can reach out. I can, Lord, if you'll help me, I can develop a friendship. Lord, I can be nice. I can let you use me so that when the time is right, God, that you will anoint me to plant the seed. Let's lift our hands and ask God to help us right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, why don't we come around close? Is that all right? Let's come up to the front, everybody that will. Let's just make ourselves available. Hallelujah. Let's just come and say, Lord, I'm willing if you will lead me to somebody. Lord, if you would just show me, put me at the right place at the right time. In Jesus' name. Lord, help me to look for opportunities. Let me look, Lord, for open doors. Praise God. One more thing. Musicians coming, and then I'm going to move out of the way. We were in Cleveland, Mississippi. We just left there back in October last year, September, October. We'd pastored there for a little over 3 years. That's a mission field, okay? Anybody from Mississippi, don't feel offended, okay? If you have church cards, do you have church cards? Don't go anywhere without church cards. I have some I carry in my wallet. I have some in the car, and sometimes I'll have them in my shirt pocket. I was in the hospital one day, and I think I'd gone to visit somebody or something. And as I came through, there was a lady standing at the window talking to the lady where you check in or whatever. And I heard her say something about Kosciuszko. Anybody ever been to Kosciuszko, Mississippi? And I heard that and I thought, I remember Brother Ferdinand Shakesnyder was a pastor in Kosciuszko years ago. And I had actually preached there a long time ago. And he was friends with some of my family members. And so I heard Kosciuszko. We have a United Pentecostal church there. So I heard her say that. When she got through with what she was doing, I said, told her my name or whatever. I said, I heard you say Kosciuszko. Have you ever been to the Pentecostal church there? She said, no, I'm not Pentecost. She said, but I know some people that are, or something like that. She didn't know Brother Shakesnyder, but she knew somebody that had gone to that church. And so I gave her a church card, just a church card, information, phone number. Man, I left the hospital. As I was leaving, I saw a man walk in. Well, I just said hello, went on, got in my car. And before I got to the second red light, my phone rang. It was that man. I didn't know he was with her. He said, hey, brother. He said, I know Brother Shakesnyder. He said, I've been to that church. In fact, I think he told me, he said, I was baptized in Jesus' name there. Jimmy wasn't living for the Lord at the time. I don't know what had happened, things that happened years ago. Amen. Just what a coincidence, right? Wrong. Amen. Jimmy showed up at church, first service, got renewed in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. What? I didn't do anything. I was just there. But I just stepped out, introduced myself, gave somebody a church card. God will use you. I'm going to pray. I want us all to pray that God will set up some divine appointments with some of you this week. This week. Hallelujah. Why do we pray? That's why. Because people need God. Hallelujah. That's why. Because there they preach the gospel. We can do the same thing. I want us to pray. And I'm going to ask God to help us this week. Not just you, but me too. And I want you to pray for yourself. God, I pray that you'd put me in the right place at the right time. God, I pray that you would use me this week, Lord. I pray that you would arrange a meeting, Lord. I pray that you would set something up, Lord. Amen. That I can reach out to somebody. I may not be able to tell them the whole thing right now. I may not be able to teach them a Bible study the first time. But Lord, if I can make the contact, if we can develop something, then Lord, it can lead to something greater. I just pray. Come on, you believe God can direct you this week. This week, God, I ask you to lead me to somebody this week. Somebody that I can reach out to in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come on, ask him right now, sincerely. Lord, I believe you. Hallelujah.
Lead me, Lord, and I will follow.
Yes. Won't you pray that right now? Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Lead me, have called me, I will answer. Saint of God, as your prayer, lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. I will answer. One more time. Sing it again. Lead me, Lord. I will follow.
Would you lead me, Lord?
Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called me. He's here. He's calling. He's equipping. If you're just available, he will give you the ability. Amen. You just say yes, he will give you what you need. Notice a while ago, Brother Rhodes, not one time Brother Rhodes said that you tell them and point your finger and said, you're going to hell. Not one time did he say you axe them and 238 them to death. He that winneth souls, finish it, is wise. Build a relationship with that person. Instead of looking at him and saying, you're going to hell. You just put yourself in hell. Unless the Holy Ghost anointed you to tell him that. Amen. We don't put that judgment on anybody. Even at funerals, I will never put anybody into heaven, and I'll never put anybody into hell. When we have a funeral here, you'll never hear me say they're in heaven. I don't care if it's you, because that's not my department. Isn't that beautiful? And I don't put them into hell. That's God's part. But my choice is to develop a relationship with them. Let me just give you some good news. Amen. Sister Dallas works with a young lady. What's her first name? Katie. Her last name was Sorrels. Katie Sorrels. That's her maiden name. Her grandpa was Don and her grandma was Laura Sorrels. Anybody that remember Don and Laura Sorrels in Central Heights? They owned the record company up the road and a mechanic shop. When we came to Central Heights, I knocked the doors many times behind the church. I forget how many times. I did it frequently. I met the Sorrels, drank coffee with them, endured the cigarette smoke, endured all that, but it was okay. Later on, Mr. Sorrels came to me, he said, Brother Crosswhite, and they would come when we had special things. He said, the property across the street from the Central Heights Church, he said, I wanted to build a shop there, a garage. He said, "About, I can't do it. I won't be able to do it. My health is bad. I would like to sell it to the church. And if you remember, he said, if you buy this from us, we're going to give you the property that runs all the way up 259. and stretches as well with the package. We purchased the property from Mr. Sorrells at a very good price, hardly nothing. And he gave us a bonus, additional properties that will run and stretch up 259 a long ways. Well, Sister Dallas moves back to Nacogdoches, and there is Katie, and they get acquainted. I did Mr. Sorrells' funeral, Miss Sorrells' funeral, Donnie Sorrells' funeral, Darren Sorrells' funeral, and the brother-in-law, Shelly's husband, I can't remember his name, did his funeral. All these Sorrells family, I did the funeral. These two boys, Donnie and Darren, died at a young age. Brother Murray probably remembered those boys. Very young, before 50 years old, they died. And I had the privilege. Now, here's Sister Dallas. In her complex, there's Katie. Well, Michael Roach had just got out of law school and got hired for a law firm in College Station. And the other day, I want to congratulate Michael for graduating from Syracuse, New York Law School. And I told him about Trey and Jesse that I'm teaching a Bible study. Jesse's fixed to take her bar exam. Congratulate. The next 2 days later, I get a text from Michael. He says, "Do the name Don and Laura Sorrells ring a bell to you?" I text back, "Yes, they were friends of our church. They came and visited many times. We bought the property." I explained to them. I did their funerals. And the next thing I get is a picture of Michael with a young lady. He said, "This is Mandy." It was their granddaughter. Mandy was Katie's sister, we found out. And she's working with Michael Roach. She said these words. She said, Michael said, she thinks a lot of you and Sister Crosswhite. She has a Bible with your name in it that you had wrote and given it to her at Vacation Bible School. No coincidence, Brother Rhodes. That's a relationship. And here's Katie working with Dallas. And there's Mandy. How God works. All at the same time. The Sorrells were great to the church and they blessed the church. God's not done with that family, I don't feel like. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's people we are working on in this city. Amen. Isn't it amazing how the miracle of God worked that Mr. Roy goes to a wedding, rode a bus from Nacogdoches, goes to a wedding in Tulsa, Oklahoma. While he's at his great or granddaughter's wedding, he goes to church with his daughter and his grandkids. Mr. Roy gets baptized in Jesus' name. The pastor calls me, said, "Brother Crosswhite, you're the first church I looked at on the internet." We didn't know each other. And he said, "Where's your church located?" And I said, "On Durst Street." Gave the address. And he turns to the people there in the room with him. He said, "The church is on Durst." And I hear the little voice of a man said, "I live on Durst Street. Mr. Roy's been coming to church on Sunday nights and Tuesdays. Brother Zach's teaching him in his second Bible study. He's going on third Bible study on Mondays or Tuesdays." Amen. I'm telling you. Yeah. Amen. He's been baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. It's relationship. In fact, Brother Zach plays chess with him. Why are you playing chess? To build a relationship. I'm telling you, build a relationship with somebody. Everywhere you go, your radar to be on. Amen. How many seen the family from Haiti that walks in here occasionally on a Sunday? I met them in Walmart. I had to use my phone to interpret to them in their language. Amen. An invitation to the church. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, God is going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. If we just love people, just reach to them, love them. Mr. Willie, amen. Sister Yvonne, amen. That Bible study that with Mr. Willie, amen. That little man is hungry for God. You know what we need to do? Keep watering. Keep working around his roots. I'm telling you, pretty soon God's going to fill that man with the Holy Ghost. We're going to baptize him in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that's the way a church grows. Somebody's ready for it in your life. But God to use you. Cultivate, cultivate, cultivate relationships. Amen. Don't be the ones that we hear about. Mean Pentecostal, that mean neighbor who goes to your church. I've had people tell me that about people that come to this church. They're mean, stuck up, holier than thou. Amen. And I've had to apologize. Oh, yeah. Through the years, that's happened. Amen. But I'm thankful tonight. Amen. That we could let our light shine and be what God has called us to be. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rhodes. How perfect. How just wonderful that is tonight. Amen. Coley, God wants to use you. Abby, God wants to use you. Amen. Jesse, God wants to use you. Amen. Sister Benton, he's using you, isn't he? Amen. When she goes to the jail, 84-year-old great-grandmother, amen, those young people listen to her. Amen. Are you thankful to be part of God's great package called the church? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the night. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. We praise you, Lord. Send us, use us, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Sharon, thank you so much for your labor, vision, and our missions department. When you see Sister Sharon tonight, make sure you thank her for her vision to put all this together. Amen. In the third building tonight, there's something. We want you to come and enjoy a little taste of missions. In Jesus' name, bless the food. Amen. Amen. Let's go to heaven.